When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
All right, email here from, let me find this here. He's from Gareth. Is it Garrett or Gareth? G-A-R-E-T-H. I don't know if the H is silent.
Yeah. Oh,
it's Garrett or if it's Gareth.
No,
I think that's Gareth. No, I think if you throw the H in there, that's a
Okay. We're going to go Gareth here. He says, hey, Mackie, I think the daily listeners deserve, all caps, deserve a proper and long visit from the Hockey Whisperer. It is much deserved. Judd's Hockey Show needs the Hockey Whisperer to join the show. Ooh. As well. You guys, you and AJ did a late night.
It was damning. Not-
I don't know if they, I mean, Judd's Hawk Show has a gray array of characters like Jesse Pierce, AJ Fredrickson, and Declan Goff. I don't know if we necessarily need
Why are you being
whisperer.
Weird and insecure about
well, I don't
that
standing
on Judd's Hockey Show?
Hockey Whisperer, the Whisperer's been gone.
And yeah, and he's been gone, and now all of a sudden he's just infiltrating Judd's Hockey Show?
Wow.
He's welcome.
Awfully territorial of
Jesse. He's welcome. Declan, hockey's for everyone.
Hockey is for, well, okay, yeah.
Including the Whisperer,
everyone.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if I like this mindset of like closing off. We're gonna okay. We're gonna be territorial, and we're not gonna.
That's not how this works.
It's just very convenient that now all of a sudden the Hockey Whisperer is showing back up. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no, is an email from Gareth asking for the Hockey Whisperer.
You know what?
The Hockey
funny?
Whisperer has been on in some remote island somewhere after he put his career on the line during last year's playoff run. So
you know what's interesting that like in. The last year, in a lot of ways, and we were talking about this off mic, Declan has matured and done a lot of things, but I feel like he's become
more
spiteful.
He's got a beard and a tax guy now. It's crazy.
And now he's more spiteful and hateful towards, and I mean, I'm trying to find the common denominators of what's changed, but I mean, the Whisperer is welcome on any.
Declan, you're not going to get ahead in life by trying to hold other people in the Hockey Whisperer down, okay? Like, make room for abundance of hockey analysts.
I'd say it's convenient. I'm not being territorial. It's a little convenient. That's all. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm being ganged up on here. I think the territorialness is being thrown from Mackie and Judd. I just threw out a very simple question. I remained calm, and now all of a sudden the gloves are off, and now you're punching
it's
down.
Not the gloves
them.
Off. It's not the gloves off at all.
Kind of feels
dude.
Like
you were 18 when the Whisperer showed up one day in the studio out of nowhere, completely. I think he was still stinking drunk, and said Nino Niederreiter's going
I was,
to score.
Fun fact: I was 21. That was like one of my Whatever first legit you were. Bar experiences. It was one of the greatest days of my life.
You were a child.
Yeah,
you
maybe
were a
we
child.
Maybe we need it. Okay, two things. First of all, the Hockey Whisperer, after putting his career on the line unsuccessfully with a prediction during last year's playoffs, does not come back for regular season hockey. Okay, so we'll just put no need to worry, no need to be territorial. But it sounds like we may need a history update here. That 9 years ago, the Hockey Whisperer was born by predicting, like you said, not only. No. That Nino Niederreiter specifically would score the game-winning goal in a Game 7 against the Avalanche, but that it would happen not in overtime, but specifically in double overtime, okay? The clairvoyance, it's like, you know, how many years does Bill Belichick get after he's clearly, like, gone off the cliff as a coach? Well, he gets as long as he wants because he coached the Patriots six. The Hockey Whisperer gets as long as he wants to decide about what he does with his career, okay? It's like wrestling, by the way.
Oh, you're like
you put your career on the line. As long as you sit out like a year, you can come
so
back at any
you're
point.
Goldberg.
In time.
You're kind of Goldberg right at this point, which is not a good, not a really a great person to be in today's wrestling age. I did see the WrestleMania card came out. I don't see Goldberg on it, so that's good. But I don't think you want to be Goldberg. But you know, hey, that's fine too.
I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin came back, and he was
that's right. Stopping a
pretty good shape last year. So, anyways, my question, not the Hockey Whisperer's question, but old Macadak's question for you guys is, should we be officially on Stanley Cup watch for the Minnesota Wild?
Boy, this is such a loaded question because this team hasn't been past the first round since 2015, yet they're 16-1-4. Or as Patrick says, that means they're 16-5 in their last 21 games.
He's right. It is weird. Like, oh, they did lose those games.
Yeah, it's very weird, but they tortured a point from the four games, so they still get points in those games. So that's how they justify that. But with the way this team is playing and like last night, here's the way I would put it, because as Dex and I have talked about, the Eastern Conference is incredible. So, but as far as Stanley Cup representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup, with the way they're playing right now, yeah, wow. I think you got to take them seriously. Wow. I think you got to take them seriously, and I think you have to take this seriously. The 2003 flag is back.
Oh wow,
that's right. The last time they were in the Western Conference Finals.
The bear claw is in the other studio. I would get the bear claw, but I would have to hop like three different doors to get so. I think what's been so encouraging from the Wild side is other players. So they lost their superstar, which and that was, 10 games into their amazing streak that they're on with the one regulation loss, and kind of obviously put a pretty big damper on the parade, because it was like, oh, well, they just lost the most important piece. The guy that's really only scoring goals for them. They've had a huge trouble scoring 5-on-5 and just scoring in general. And I guess this is probably going to be it for it. Well, now all of a sudden, Matt Boldy steps up in his absence. The trade acquisitions that they've made, Johansson, Sundqvist, have all made a humongous difference. And probably the biggest factor, right, is the goaltending. I mean, Philip Gustafson and Marc-Andre Fleury are playing out of their minds. And they have a great defensive structure where this has been the Wild's bread and butter for years. I mean, they've had Spurgeon and Brodin and Dumba. They've had all these defensive guys, in their system for, 8 to 10 years, it seems like. And you can plug in an Alex Stalock, you can plug in a Devan Dubnyk, you can plug in a Cam Talbot, and they've mostly been fine. Well, this year, I think it's very clear, Philip Gustafson and Marc-Andre Fleury are playing a level even above those guys. And doesn't matter who's in net, and they're both such different styles that you feel really, really confident no matter who's in net for them. And that's the biggest thing. You need your goaltender to steal you a couple games per playoff series. So obviously, if you're going to make a Stanley Cup run, they're going to have to steal multiple games for you. But you feel really good about the Wild's goaltending. I think that's the most important ingredient for a playoff run.
And this is a really primitive way to, I mean, I'm sure Declan has more advanced analytical ways to measure this, but in terms of just goals allowed, no team in the Western Conference, as we wake up today here after that win over the Avalanche last night, no team in the Western Conference has allowed fewer goals than the Minnesota Wild. They're four goals fewer than the Stars and the Avalanche. Although, well, I guess, and they have a game in hand, so it's a plus or the other teams have a game in hand. So it's only going to get better as the games even up. Some of that's goaltending, some of it's blue line play, I would guess, but it's kind of a mix of like the old defensive style Wild that, Judd's 2003 flag, that they're doing that as well as any team in the Western Conference and goaltending. But they also, especially when Kaprizov comes back, they also have him now and Boldy, who emerged as the superstar goal scorers. I don't know if you would put Boldy in that category because of a hot March, but the dude's 21 years old. This might be him like realizing his offensive potential for the first time, right?
If everybody understands when Kaprizov comes back that they need to play like they're currently playing, they'll be in great shape. If they start to watch Kaprizov and rely on him to come in, ride in on Declan's favorite horse and save the day, they're going to be in big trouble. So like, that's the difference, is that they have guys and Boldy is the poster child because he scored a ton of goals. But the reality is with Kaprizov out, everyone has basically doubled down and played their role better. And the Marcus Johansson pickup continues to be amazing. I mean, he was incredible last night because he is super fast. And he can skate with the Avs, who are a more probably talented team. But what the Wild has now is, and last night's game was super impressive. Like, that was no fluke. Last night's game was an example of the fact that the Wild has enough speed to keep up with a team like the Avs. They can't match MacKinnon and Makar, but they could keep up. But more importantly, they also can play a heavy physical game against them, frustrate them, and slow them down. The thing I like the most that we're seeing right now is this. What the Wild is doing is playoff sustainable. A year ago, we probably didn't ID this quick enough, but the fact that they were a team that rallied late, right? Pulled their goaltender and scored a goal, which is great in the regular season. That's not sustainable in the playoffs. And the fact was that Wild team really didn't have the makeup of a playoff team. This team now, especially with the deadline acquisitions that Bill Guerin made up front, has that. And they have enough depth where when guys get hurt, which is inevitable, you can replace guys now. So like there is a they not only statistically are doing some things that are impressive, but if you watch them a lot, they pass the eye test for playoff games.
So here's something crazy, okay? You mentioned the whatever it is, 16-1-4 or 16-1-5 over the past 20 some games. The last time the Wild lost a regulation game against a Western Conference team that the Gus Bus was in net for, February 8th against Dallas, the last time the Gus Bus lost a regulation game to a Western Conference team, February 8th.
Here comes the bus.
At Dallas.
Coming on the tracks.
It's insane.
Yes.
And yeah. So I told you guys this with Royce on the Royce Unchained episode today, which you can find too if you want some more Wild discussion. Yeah, I think we've just, especially guys like me and Declan, we've grown up. We've never, like Judd was in college or shortly after when you lived as an adult through the Twins winning a World Series in 87 and 91. Young adult Judd climbing light poles downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, I was all greased up, but I still got to the top.
Declan and I, the only reality that we know with all of the four major men's, team sports in this town, and hell, I guess if you want to throw in, Minnesota United, you want to throw in Gopher Sports, whatever, too. The only thing we know is pretty good teams in the regular season that then get beat in the first round. Or maybe they make it to the conference finals like the Timberwolves once did or the Vikings do once every 10 years, right? And then they get beat. But at some point, unless you are even more of a fatalist than Judd is when it comes to Minnesota sports, at some point, one of these teams will break through and win a Stanley Cup. Sounds crazy, but win a Larry O'Brien trophy, win the Vince Lombardi trophy, right? Like, it's going to happen at some point. And that was my original question here off the top of this episode here of Mackey and Judd is like, yeah, there's a much better chance that this team just, they had a great regular season. They get in, maybe they win a series, they get beat in the conference semifinals. We've seen that play out before.
Right.
But there is a non-zero chance, to steal a phrase from our old friend Derek Wetmore, a non-zero chance that this team wins the whole thing. They'd have to upset a Boston team or somebody, but it's hockey. If you can get there and the Gus Bus gets hot or Fleury turns back the clock, I just think it's really interesting the position they've put themselves in here in the last 3 weeks. We've gone from like, what should they do at the trade deadline to, oh my God, could they roll through a pretty mediocre Western Conference and do something here?
Well, and don't sleep on the fact too that this is an example of what a really good executive can do. Because this team, first of all, did not start the season as this team. Like, there were question marks, much like with the Wolves. Like, there was some dead weight and there were some issues. And, remember, you're dealing with a team that is still in salary cap hell. So, like, they're doing this despite the fact that nobody had huge expectations because this was the first year the Parisian Suter contracts really kicked your ass. And Bill Guerin made trades at the deadline, which have proven huge. The Gustafson trade alone is one of the most incredible trades in sports in this town that we have seen. For like what you get, for what you're getting for a guy that you basically thought we've got to dump him, and we all expected, okay, you dumped him, now what? When you look though at the tweaks that Bill has made, when you look at the fact that he has built up the depth where they now have enough guys, where's Gustav Nyquist going to play? This is a big controversy. I assure you someone's going to get hurt and he can play. And a year ago, in fact, AJ brought this up on the episode that we did last night, and I'd forgotten about this, but he's 100% right. If you guys remember, a controversy that was caused in the midst of the Wild success last season was when Anson Carter on the TNT studio panel went on and said, one problem with that team that I see is a lack of depth. And Wild fans went nuts. They're like, and like the Wild mocked it. Oh,
that's the strongest thing on this team.
And it really wasn't. But now it is. Like, there, no one's going to talk about a lack of depth here. So I think the thing that's so fun about this, and the Wolves sort of have this too, is you've got two GMs in town, and Tim Connelly certainly has had a flawed year too, so don't, I'm not absolving him. But you've got two GMs in town.
Or maybe he hasn't.
Well, no, but he might have solved the flaw. But two GMs in town who went to a trade deadline, and they didn't like make the biggest splashes. They didn't make the trade where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you got Gretzky. But what did they do?
Adults in the room.
They solidified the team.
Yeah.
Like, don't sleep on that. Like that's the type of thing that I think has been so frustrating that this state doesn't see enough of. But, you know, you've now had three trade deadlines consecutively, Vikings, Wolves, and Wild, in which the GM of those teams has used that deadline to significantly upgrade that team. That's like working between – that's really, really interesting, and I think it's really heartening to see if you're a fan of those teams.
Yeah. Some of these trades are kind of boring trades, right? Well, the Wild just made three nondescript trades and – yes. Or, wow, the Wolves actually got rid of a flashy player who might be the best player in the trade for a 35-year-old point guard and some second-round picks. And at the end of the day, the book will still be written on Tim Connelly. I think Bill Guerin's, there's enough to his resume at this point the last few years. Like, yeah, they haven't hoisted a cup yet, but like that dude knows what he's looking at. And it goes beyond just the analytics or the back of the, you know, trading card numbers. There's a certain chemistry and glue factor that you have to account for. And not all general managers, I would argue that the Derek Falvey and Thad Levine have been awful at this part of it. They kind of know what they're looking at when it comes to analytics and different things. But when it comes to, all right, chemistry in the room and getting everyone to buy into something, like you bring in players like Sonny Gray who don't agree with the philosophy of the manager, or you bring in Andrelton Simmons who comes in as an anti-vaxxer, for instance, and I'm not playing either side. I'm just saying, like, from a chemistry standpoint, the Twins have been terrible at that.
Yep.
The Wild have been great at it. Yep. The Wolves, we'll see. It looks like they've kind of figured it out. But you know, I do wonder if those three trades, was it three trades or four? I think it was three for the Wild.
Sundquist, Johansson, Nyquist.
Four.
Klingberg.
Yeah. And you're kind of like Jordan Greenway. I'm not saying he was a cancer in the room, but it's like, you know, just kind of this plotting oaf that he was underachieving and mm-hmm. he's not adding to the situation, right?
Yep.
Super interesting.
And I think that's where Guerin, his playing days, his executive days, you know, make a big difference here, because he was once a guy who was a superstar player. I mean, he was an all-star with the Devils, and then towards the end of his career, he recognized that, hey, I'm no longer the player that I used to be, so how can I benefit the room in Pittsburgh? All right, so this is Sidney Crosby's team now. My prime years are done, but I can still contribute to this team as a player. How do I make Sidney better? How do I make the team better? Same thing as an executive, right? Like, he knows that, all right, this team has Kirill. Boldy is a little up and down, but they need some supplement. They need a shot in the arm. So go get Ryan Reeves. And this team can't score. So why are we getting Ryan Reeves? Well, because the room has to be a little bit better. And you don't have a lot. You don't want to give up a bunch of high capital like your draft picks and your top prospects, which the Wild have, and they're still able to be buyers of the deadline. I mocked the Johansson trade when it happened 6 weeks ago. I said, why are you bringing this guy back? You gave up a third-round pick for someone who isn't going to make much of a difference when the first time around. Well, he's a playoff vet. He's been to a cup. And he has helped waken up Matt Boldy. So I think Guerin's experience with just knowing what it takes to add to that room, that's where the perfect blend of analytics, and he's come on our show and talked about the same thing, that he relies on analytics, but he has a human side of it that when you blend them both together, right, you put it in that stew of both the human and analytic element, that's where you get the best results, and I think that's why the Wild's trade acquisitions have been so successful.
And at the press conference that both Dean and Bill held after the Johansson trade, their first thing was, last time around he was a great fit for us. So like, it wasn't like he's gonna make Boldy great, like I'm sure they hoped, right? But what the first thing that both of them said was, JoJo's a great fit for us. He was mm-hmm. well liked here. He liked it here. He's going to seamlessly fit in. And Phil, you bring up a really interesting point, because
I know, right?
Because, well, but we've all covered sports here, and I don't think it takes a ton of work to identify a locker room that feels like it's got a it factor, or one that feels like this is not right. Like, you know, I wasn't joking for years when I would come on our shows and talk about Parisi and Suter, and that locker room is just all screwed up. And I think fans were like, you know, because we heard the old thing, oh, Koivu's a fine captain. Who cares about captains, John? I'm like, no, it matters in this sport. Mm-hmm. And then to your point about the Twins, that like brings it full circle to the bad of, okay, we all thought, oh man, you got Lance Lynn cheap. That's awesome. No, but the Bill Guerins of the world think, okay, I might get him cheap, but am I getting him happy? Is he going to fit in? You know, those are the type of things. And I think fans, not, that's not fair to say. I think some fans don't understand this isn't building a rotisserie baseball team or a fantasy football team. You know, it's not a collection of names that get you points. It's a collection of human beings that have to have chemistry, you know, and Mike Conley on the Wolves now clearly brought something. Mm-hmm. There is no question they are a different team. You know, the Wild and Wolves, this is as much in the same season as I've seen those two teams morph and change as I can remember. Both those teams are not the teams that started the season. And in the Wolves' case, it ain't close.
Yeah. By the way, I had my rotisserie fantasy baseball draft last night.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing that to your poor wife? Were you like, well, I'm in a, like no, hours?
I'm in a different league with some of the same guys, and we do this other league online. I'm no longer in the one where it's like daily lineup changes.
Oh, you're out of the.
It's a 10-hour, like, yeah, they said it was like a 10 or 12-hour draft on Saturday. I used to live for that. I can't do it anymore, man.
What happened?
I can't do it anymore. Life. I don't know. Like, it's hard to. So last night it's a second league, and it's like a 2-hour online draft. And, well, old Macadac would love to tell you about it. Shohei Ohtani in the first round. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. The 10th pick, man.
Ohtani fell to the 10th pick?
Yeah, I don't know what these guys are doing. Old Macadac got him, though.
Who went first, excited. Trout?
No, Trout went after Ohtani. I had to decide between Trout and Ohtani. And then the rest. So,
are these baseball fans?
We've already talked about this way longer than anyone cares
sorry.
About. But,
I'm sorry. I'm
but,
sorry.
Yeah, Ohtani. I was trying to get Ohtani and Trout because that would have just been super fun. But anyhow, I'll tell you what. If you're interested in fantasy baseball,
mm-hmm.
Underdog Fantasy is a great place with opening day here today. Get on in.
That's right. I can see some pick 'em option for Pablo Lopez. You want to ride a little strikeout, a little 4.5 strikeouts? I think you can strike out more than 4.5 Kansas City Royals pitchers for hitters, excuse me, for God's sakes. Or you get on some of these drafts. They got the cycle right now. So you enter with a $7 entry. There's $8,000 in grand prizes, okay? So there's plenty of options on Underdog Fantasy. Get your baseball fix. Get your hockey fix. You got the Masters coming up here next week. There's plenty of great options on Underdog Fantasy. If you want to join first-time users, get a bonus of $100 when you use promo code SCORE. That's S-K-O-R. Go down the Underdog Fantasy app and show us those winning slips.
So I think the verdict here is that it's not Stanley Cup warning yet, but it's definitely Stanley Cup watch. The Wild have put everyone on Stanley Cup notice or watch.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay. That's fair. Watch. Yep, yep. If this was an actual warning, you would be told to buy tickets. Yeah, I that's fair.
Amazing. And you can find Judd's Hockey Show anywhere you find podcasts, and also just in the Mackey and Judd podcast feed and Score North YouTube channel. Yep. Judd's Hockey Show, the Hockey Whisperer. Don't worry, Declan. The Hockey Whisperer is not going to infringe on any territory.
I got uncomfortable quickly, and I'm not quite sure why.
I was just asking a question, and I think you guys.
I didn't hear
it.
Uncomfortable.
No, I think it was. I think it was laced. I think it was loaded. I think it was more than.
Let us know.
Do you think Declan lashed out a little aggressively? At the Hockey Whisperer there in the YouTube comment section.
It was sort of like when Conan had the Tonight Show briefly. Leno came back Conan. And threw him off.
I just want to come back for a segment.
I just
want to come back for a segment.
Yeah, yeah, that's what that was sort of like. It's like the Whisperer can't. Right. No, the Whisperer can't.
I'll go to TBS and also have a great career, okay? So you guys can get your late show.
You go to TBS.
Yeah. Or you'll go to TBS and have a career. I don't know if it would wind up being a great career. And a podcast.
Positively funny.
Yeah. See you guys.